So you're welcome this morning, and let us turn in our Bibles to John chapter 20 as we pray. Father God, we thank you for another time that we can gather together in your name here in this place. We are so grateful for the opportunity to share fellowship with you and with one another in your glorious presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in our midst. You are the Spirit of Christ, and as it is written, where two or three are gathered together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there you are in the midst of them. Thank you for being in our midst today. And thank you for being our source of help as we wait upon the Lord in this service today. We look away from ourselves. We look away from every carnal means. We look to you and you alone. For you are the only true source of help that we have. You are the source that never fails. Thank you that as it is written, it is not by our power, it's not by our own human might, it is by the Spirit of God. And so this morning we take the limits off of you, no matter what the need may be in everyone's life. We look to you, blessed Holy Spirit, and we thank you that by your omnipotence, you minister to everyone. The victory, the success, the blessings that God has prepared for each one of us as his children. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making this time that we spend in the presence of God a glorious time to remember all our days. We surrender all to you, and we give you the glory and thanks now and always. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. Lift your hands to him again and thank him. He is the Holy Spirit, and he is the one that we all need. We look to him, he never fails. He is our helper. He is our comforter. And there is absolutely nothing he cannot do for us. If we can believe, Bible says, all things are possible to him that believes. All things there, meaning the things that are righteous, the things that God himself has promised us in his word. If God has promised it, he is more than able to perform it. Because God does not perform his word by any of us as humans, he performs his word by his Spirit. The same way he did right from the beginning of creation in Genesis. Bible says the Holy Spirit was moving upon the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be light. And the Holy Spirit performed the word. That is the same way God is going to help you on a daily basis. You have to find out what the word of God says. And you have to believe according to that word. And you have to rely on the Holy Spirit to perform it. Don't try to help God perform his word. Every attempt to help God to perform his word will only result in production of Ishmaels, in quotes, just like Father Abraham, the father of faith. God gave him a promise. But then he thought God was too slow in fulfilling his promise. It was taking too long. And so he tried to help God. But when God rejected Ishmael, he learned from his mistake. And he waited for Isaac. And he himself declared in Romans chapter 4, after learning from the mistake of Ishmael, Bible says he did not stagger anymore at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. You see, he came to the place where he was now fully persuaded. Now, what God had promised, God also was able to perform. The God who gives the promise is the God who will perform it. So look away from yourself. Say to your neighbor, look away from yourself. Whatever God has promised you in His word, God is the one that will perform it. So look away from yourself. And look away from any harm of the flesh. Because the arm of flesh cannot do it. Only God can. Amen. All right. John chapter 20. We are looking at something very simple this morning. So it's good to go back to the simplicity of the word. And just examine ourselves, as Bible says, to make sure we are walking in the kind of faith that God wants us to walk in. See, faith is so simple. But if we try to reason it out with our head knowledge, we will complicate it for ourselves. It is our human understanding that gets in the way of God. In fact, much more than the devil, because the devil is smarter than many of us. He knows that he can't really get in the way of God. God will consume him. God is a consuming fire. So what the devil does is to put pressure on us to violate the word of God, to choose not to be doers of the word. And because of that, we shortchange ourselves. You see, the devil is so smart. He knows that every time we disobey the word of God, God cannot help us. He was with God in heaven. He knows that God is the God of obedience. And he knows that it is obedience to God that will bring the blessings of God our ways. So every time we disobey God, we fall in the hands of the devil, so to say, because he's the spirit of disobedience. So he just puts pressure on us. It gives us so many reasons why the word of God cannot really come to pass for us in the situation, so that we now begin to doubt, or we begin to reason with our carnal minds and lean on our own human understanding rather than leaning on the word of God. Say to your neighbor, the devil is the same old serpent, not a new one. He's the same one that went in the garden and deceived Eve and got Adam to disobey God. He has no new tricks today. He's still a deceiver, a liar, and the spirit of disobedience. So don't fall for his tricks. Choose to obey God's word. And don't lean on your own human understanding. Amen. As long as you don't lean on your human understanding, the devil can't get you. It's as simple as that. Imagine for a minute if Eve in the Garden of Eden had chosen not to lean on her own human understanding. If she had chosen to just keep holding on to what God said and not try to reason with the mind, she would not have been deceived. Every time we try to reason anything with the mind, the natural mind, the devil can get us deceived. It's as simple as that. It doesn't matter how spiritual we are. Eve was perfect when God made her. There was no sin in her until she decided to yield to the devil. Now, if the devil could get a perfect man and a perfect woman to disobey God, don't think he can't get you or me. He can get every one of us too. The way it works is to get us to rely on our own human senses. And it can give us so many reasons why the word of God cannot happen for us, so that we end up doubting God. So don't lean on your own human understanding. Just believe the word of God. It may look impossible. Just believe that with God all things are possible. It may seem to be taking long. Just believe that God is never late. He knows what he's doing. Just trust in him with all your heart. That's all. Be fully persuaded, as Father Abraham became fully persuaded before he got Isaac. He was fully persuaded. that what God had promised, God also was able to perform, and because of that, God counted his faith as a righteous kind of faith, and then Isaac came. And here in John chapter 20, we see a very good instruction from Jesus Christ about how to walk in faith and please God. You see, faith is not something that we come up with on our own. We have to receive it from God and act upon it the way God expects us to. That's all. Any attempt to come up with our own idea of faith will lead to what Bible describes as hypocrisy or hypocritical faith. See, Paul commended the faith of Timothy as unfeigned faith. In other words, faith without hypocrisy, which means all other kinds of faith are hypocritical. It's possible for me to begin to declare words of faith out of my mouth, but my heart is really not in it. So that's hypocrisy. The heart and mouth have to agree on the basis of the word of God and not on the basis of our human understanding or natural senses. We know this account very well in the Bible, so we won't waste too much time on it. We all know Thomas Didymus. Every Christian knows about Thomas Didymus. But if we are not careful, we are all little Thomas Didymus too in our own ways. That's why all these things are written for us, so that we can learn. And say, oh, that's not the right way. Don't let me do it that way. Let me check my heart and find out whether I'm really walking in the kind of faith that will please God. Because I want to please God and get blessed. I don't want to displease God and miss out on the blessings that he has for me. Okay, then. So let's look at it. John chapter 20. For the sake of context, I'll read quickly from verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Please underline that in your Bible. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. It's so unfortunate. We can read that as, oh, what a beautiful experience they had. Oh, they saw Jesus and they were happy. Oh, how I long to see Jesus so that I can be glad too. But that's not the kind of faith God wants you to live by. They should not have tied their gladness to seeing Jesus by sight. They should have tied their gladness to the words that Jesus told them before he went to the cross. They should have been rejoicing when Jesus told them, well, this night you are going to have sorrow, but in 3 days your sorrow shall be turned into joy. They should have been rejoicing then. Knowing that, Jesus already promised that he was going to die and resurrect from the dead. So let us begin to rejoice because we are looking ahead to the resurrection of Jesus and the new life that he's bringing to us all. But don't you remember that not even one of his disciples, including Peter, believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. When Mary, who went to the tomb, and realized that Jesus was not there because she herself did not believe in resurrection, she went to anoint dead body. She should not have gone there. Jesus told them, go to Galilee and wait for me. He never told any of them to come to the tomb. But at least Mary had a love in her heart for Jesus. And she prepared nice spice. She wanted to go and dress the body of Jesus. Jesus that cared so much for her, and she's responding in love. But finally, when she got there, she realized the body is not there anymore. And the angel said to her, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. You shouldn't have come here. This is the place for the dead. Jesus is not dead, he's alive. So don't come looking for the living among the dead. Go and tell his disciples that they should go and wait for him and meet him at Galilee, as he said, because he's not here anymore. And she went and told them. They looked at her, they said, this woman, it's just an idle tale she's talking. Look at this woman. Hey, did someone give her wine to drink so early in the morning? What's she talking about? What resurrection? None of them believed. In fact, Peter also had to run to the place to see for himself before he believed, and then went and told the other disciples, and those ones didn't believe too. So none of them, and yet they walked with him for 3.5 years. They saw all his miracles, they heard all his sermons, and 3 out of the 12 went with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. How come they were still doubting? So you better don't assume that because you're a Christian, you're a believer. Say to your neighbor, don't assume. You need to be sure that you really believe. Amen. So they assumed that they were disciples of Jesus. They had all the sermons. They know him inside out. They know everything. Yet they were doubting even the word he told them. So Thomas Didymus was not there when Jesus came and showed himself to them, showed them his hands and his feet, so that they could know that, well, this is the same Jesus that was nailed to the cross. No mistake at all. This is the real Jesus. And so those who were there and saw were glad, because their faith now is being tied to sight. They are believing because they've seen, and they are all rejoicing. But Thomas, who was in there while Jesus came, of course, did not believe also. Look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side. What conditions is putting in place before he will believe? Unless I see, even just the hand is not enough for me. If I see the nail print in the hands, that's not enough for me. I have to also see in the feet. And even the hand and feet is not enough for me. I have to put my hand in the side, because I saw that Roman soldier pierce his side with the spear. So there must be a huge hole there. I have to put my hand in that and make sure that's the real Jesus. Nailed to the cross, hand and feet, and then pierced on the side with the Roman soldier spear. You see how he complicated things for himself? And that's how you and I do many times. We complicate faith for ourselves. Unless I see a sign of improvement, I'm not going to believe that I'm healed. Unless I see, you know, a sign that money is coming in my bank account, and I see that it's building up, I'm not going to believe that I'm prospering. Where did we learn all that from? Have you ever thought of a God who can visit you in one day and turn your life around like a dream? Is that not what the Bible says? Have you thought of a God who can make manna to fall from heaven, and you are wondering, where did this come from? How come we have allowed our faith to be tied to our senses, natural senses? Oh, unless the economy improves, my business cannot prosper. Are you a Christian? You better don't believe that. Forget about the economy. Whether the economy of the nation improves or not, your business will prosper. Isaac sold in famine. The economy, let's put it that way, the economy of the place was bad because there was famine. But Isaac sowed, and he was the only one that sowed. And he reaped 100-fold, and the Philistines envied him. Well, if he was going by the economy, it would be like the Philistines too. So as Christians, we are in the world. We are not of the world. It's time for us to wake up and begin to prove God. And say, God, our God, whose kingdom rules over all, knows how to make a way where there seems to be no way. It's not limited by the things that limit us. So we often complicate our faith because we rely too much on our natural senses. Didymus said, I'm not going to believe. So say to your neighbor, whether you believe or not, it's a personal choice. So don't blame anybody else. It is your choice. Amen. There's no point blaming someone else. Because here we see Thomas, Didymus, one of the disciples, saying he will not believe unless he's satisfied by his own natural senses that this is Jesus. And there was nothing anyone else could tell him. Peter could not convince him. James could not convince him. John could not convince him. I'm not going to believe. Forget about what you say. Whether I came in this room or not, I'm not going to believe unless I see for myself and I check. In other words, my faith is going to be activated only after I have seen with my own eyes these things. It's a choice. But thank God for Jesus. Oh, thank God we have Jesus as our master. Thank God that Jesus is not like you and me in the flesh. Because, you know, at that point in time, I would have rejected John Didymus. Thomas. We would have rejected Thomas Didymus. Many of us would say, what kind of useless disciple is this? From now on, you are no longer my disciple. How can you not trust me after all I've told you? And now you are even in the sight of all the other disciples saying this about me. You will not believe unless you see. From now on, Thomas, you are no longer mine. Isn't that what many of us would have said? But not Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is always looking for a way to help us get better. Say to your neighbor, Jesus is a good master. Even when we fall, he tries to pick us up. He's always there for us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never abandons us. Amen. Many friends will abandon you when they see that you are no longer useful. As long as you are useful, they'll hang around you. But if they see they can't really benefit from you anymore, or you don't measure up to their own standard or expectation of you, they reject you. And you'll be amazed how quickly they turn away from you. But Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So he's still stuck with Thomas. And he knew that all Thomas needed was to be corrected, so that he will change his ways and move from the error of his faith into the path of truth that he expects of him as his disciple. And so he appeared 7 days later when Thomas was there, and he called him unto himself. Verse 26 says, and after 8 days, again his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Please underline that in your Bible. Be not faithless, but believing. Notice Thomas Didymus said, unless he saw those signs about Jesus, he would not believe. In other words, Thomas is calling himself a believer. But there are things that will make him believe. But Jesus says, Thomas, you are not a believer. In other words, stop being faithless, Thomas. Change from unbeliever to a believer. Say to your neighbor, the change from unbeliever to believer is of your heart. Amen. Because the Bible says with the heart man believes. So what Jesus is saying to Thomas here, change your heart so that your ways can show forth your faith. Because if our hearts are not really fully persuaded, we are not established in the kind of faith that will show everybody that we are truly in faith. Faith has to have evidence that everybody will see and know that we are really in faith. Isn't that so? In Luke chapter 5 verse 17, if you read down from there, you find out that there was a day Jesus was preaching. And Bible says the whole room was packed with people from all areas of town. And the power of God was present to heal them, but nobody was being healed until one man was brought in by his friends, one paralyzed man. And Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. In other words, he saw the action of their faith. Faith has action. The woman with the issue of blood added action to her faith. She said within herself, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And then she acted upon that and she came in the press. So she showed by her action that there is genuine faith in her heart. And she will not be denied. And so Jesus says to Thomas, well, you are not in faith at this point in time. You need to switch over from this point of faithlessness to the point of faith. Because you telling me that you will not believe unless you see the signs means you don't have faith. Yet Thomas thought it was a man of faith. Just like you and I many times say, oh, I believe God. I believe God for my breakthrough. I believe God for my breakthrough. I believe God for my breakthrough. But the heart is not establishing it. And Jesus is saying, well, stop being faithless. But believing. But I'm saying I believe. No, Jesus is saying, no, you don't believe. Because your believing is tied to your human senses. That's not the kind of belief that my Father in heaven is looking for. My Father in heaven is looking for another kind of believing. So you need to switch over onto the right side. That's what he's saying here to Thomas. Don't be faithless, but believing. Now, so what kind of believing is God looking for? What kind of faith is God looking for? Because see, God, in looking for this kind of faith, wants us to be blessed. It's as simple as that. Say to your neighbor, God loves to see us blessed. That's the kind of Father he is. Amen. So Jesus says, well, be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Oh, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Many of us will give pass mark to that. Oh, Thomas is a believer. He has believed. Jesus said, no. That's not pass mark. That's failure. Because the way we assess things is different from the way God assesses things. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Oh, this person is a believer. He's believing. God says, no, he's not. So Jesus is saying, well, Thomas, the only reason you are believing is because your senses agree. You are only believing because you have seen and you have touched and you have felt. Your believing is based on your natural senses. God does not accept that. That's counterfeit faith in the kingdom of God. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, faith and natural senses don't go together. The kind of faith God is looking for from every one of us is not faith that is based on our natural senses. It is faith that is based on something else, which we shall see very clearly this morning. So Jesus says to him, well, the reason you are believing is because you have seen. Now let us say the last part of Jesus' statement there together in verse 29. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Let's say that again. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Once again, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, those who have not seen, but they have already believed, they are blessed. So those who are believing because they have seen, they are not blessed. That's the implication. Those who are blessed of God the Father are those who, even though they have not seen, they have believed. Notice how Jesus puts it. He didn't say those who have not seen, but they are trying to believe. Say to your neighbor, you don't try to believe. You choose to believe. Say it one more time. You don't try to believe. You choose to believe. Say it once again for emphasis. You don't try to believe. You choose to believe. Notice again, Jesus said, they have not seen, but they have already believed. They are not going to believe or trying to believe. They have already believed. They have settled it once and for all. Already done. So, what gives these people the confidence to believe when they have not seen? They are not struggling to believe. They are not trying hard to believe. Jesus says they have already believed, and yet they have not seen. That is the genuine kind of faith. So what gives confidence to us as Christians to settle our faith in God in any area of need when we don't even see a sign that is going to be possible? Well, we all know that is the word of God, but what is it from the word of God? That's the key. It's not good to just know, oh, it's the word of God. Oh, it's just the word of God. What specific thing or how do we relate with that word of God to put us in this place that Jesus says we need to be in order to be blessed, which is the place where we have not seen but we have already believed. So the devil cannot come and sow seeds of doubt anymore because we already believed. We have already believed. If we are trying to believe, the devil will come and talk us out of the belief like he did to the woman in the garden. He will come and show us 100 reasons why the word of God cannot happen for us anymore. Oh, you are too old to get that blessing now. Oh, Abraham, your wife is too old to give you a child. So the promise of God cannot happen anymore. You need another woman. Because at that point, Abraham had not believed. He was still trying to believe. So the devil had an opening to talk him out of it. But finally he learned. And Bible says he was fully persuaded. You see, he already believed to receive Isaac. And he began to give glory to God. And it took 14 years of doing that after Ishmael before Isaac came. So you see the difference now? 14 years after Sarah said, I can't give you a child, she became the mother of Isaac. Because Abraham was no longer leaning on his human senses. He was not waiting to see the evidence improve, circumstantial evidence. He wasn't looking at Sarah and saying, well, this Sarah now is becoming a young woman again. The same whole Sarah now. But his understanding changed. That now you don't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. You don't walk by your human understanding anymore. In terms of science and biology, you forget about all that. That's of the world. You just focus on God, that God who gave the promise has the ability to perform it. How is he going to do it? I don't know. When is he going to do it? I don't know. But I know one thing, God never fails to keep his promise. And he became fully persuaded. In other words, he has now believed. So he could be blessed with Isaac, according to the words of Jesus. Blessed are they who have not seen, but they have believed. So what gives us that confidence to believe when we have not seen, and to settle the belief once and for all so that we don't ever doubt anymore? It's concluded, we have believed, and so we've closed that chapter. The devil cannot come now and get us to doubt anymore because we have already believed. Sorted out. Now, before we look at that, let's turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 11 and see what the Bible says about faith. It's always good to look at the Bible definition of faith and not look at human definition of faith. You know, if you listen to so many messages today, people define faith in so many ways. And you can end up being confused. But there's no confusion in the Word of God. Just go back to the Word of God and hear from God directly. God is not the author of confusion. Say to your neighbor. So don't let any man confuse you. Amen. Now, faith is simple, according to the Word of God. No need to complicate it. Let's read it together. We all know it very well, but let's read it together here this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let's go. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Looking at that verse of scripture, we just see very clearly, without anybody interpreting anything for us, that when we are walking by faith, we can't be walking by sight at the same time. Because the Bible says faith is the evidence of things not seen. So therefore, what I'm seeing has nothing to do with faith. And then Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. So in other words, if I'm walking by faith, I have to have hope for something. See the key? When I'm walking by the kind of faith that Jesus says will bring me blessing, I have to have hope for something. And then I have to make sure that my faith is not based on what I'm seeing or my natural senses, or my ability to reason out my situation and find a way out of it. That's what natural senses is all about. Human understanding. Bible calls it in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because that's where the devil catches every one of us. We think we are smart. Oh, I can figure out a way out of this. The devil comes and gives you several options which are not in line with the Word of God. But it never tells you that at the end of the day, you are going to be messed up. That's why the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end are ways of death or destruction. Devil disguises it and says, well, this is the way, you know, just take that woman, Hagar. That's why she's in your house. It's the blessing of God that came back with you from Egypt. But you see, God never sent Abraham to Egypt. You know, if you go to where God did not ask you to go, you can come up with what God did not want you to have. If Abraham, to start with, had inquired of God when there was famine in the land, he would not have gone to Egypt. Egypt became a snare unto him because that's where he brought back Hagar, which later became a trap. If he had been with his wife alone, when the woman was old, there would not have been a quick option of the devil sneaking in. They would both have been standing there and say, well, God told us, Sarah, you know, God told us. He said, you can't have a child anymore. Let's change our confession and begin to say, God, who said we are going to have a child? He has to make a way. He has to make a way. Because God, who said you are going to have a child with me, he has to make a way. He's God. He cannot lie. But because there was an easy option, That's how the devil sets us up. There's always an easy option. Say to your neighbor, be careful of easy ways. They are dangerous ways. Wide and easy is the way that leads to death. Many go in there. But narrow and hard is the way that leads to life. Only if you go in their way. So the devil knows how we love easy ways. So he sets things up to catch us. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 4 as we begin to round up. And I'll just give you a few points to take home and meditate in. So, what then gives strength to our hope? As Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus said, blessed are they who have not seen, but they have believed. So, those people have believed somehow what they have not seen. They are not trying to believe it. They are not struggling to believe it. They settled the belief already, and it is concluded while they have not even seen any sign that is going to be possible. So what gives them that confidence? Where did they get that kind of hope from? How are they relating to the word of God to get that kind of hope? We see it in the life of Abraham, after he learned from the mistake of Isaac. So say to your neighbor, this is the way of faith that brings you blessings, as Jesus said. Amen. All right, so let's, for the sake of time, let's pick it from verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Notice the tense in which that verse is written, past tense. God put it in past tense. Abraham had to agree with God in past tense. Just like Jesus said, those who have not seen but they have believed, past tense, already done. So say to your neighbor, genuine faith is always concluded once and for all, even without any sign of possibility. You don't need a sign. You just need to conclude it in your heart. Forget about how it looks. If you focus on how it looks, you miss God. The devil is a deceiver. The more you look, the less you see. So stop looking for signs. Just focus on God. Now notice what Bible says there again. As it is written, I have. You see, God says it in past tense. And yet, the man didn't have any child. But God says, I have already made you the father of many nations. Because that's the way of faith. God is the source of our faith. And the way he operates faith is what he's teaching us. I have done it already. But where is the child? Forget about the sight. Just believe that I've done it already. But I can't see any child. Your name is no longer Abraham. Your name is Abraham. You are the father of many nations. Just believe. But where is the child? Believe I have made you the father of many nations. God took him out by the night and said, look up in the sky. You see the stars? Begin to count them. Can you count how many stars are in the sky? Abraham said to God, no, I've lost count. I've been trying, but I can't count them. I've lost count. God said, so shall thy seed be. And now Abraham had the choice to believe or not to believe. To either believe the way of God and say, so shall my seed be, is done. Or to try to believe by the sight, waiting to see a sign. So Bible says, finally, before Isaac came, he believed in agreement with God's way of believing. That's what Bible is teaching us here. Before him, whom he believed. Even God will quicken the dead. So he believed that God has power to resurrect the dead. God can bring back to life deadness of Sarah's womb. God can make the womb that is no longer able to have a child to become like the womb of a young woman that can have a child. That's what Abraham believed now. Better believe that with God all things are possible, no matter what the need may be. If God has promised it, it's possible. If man says it's impossible, if man tells you your sickness is incurable, you better say, oh, thank God, with God all things are possible. Man does not have full knowledge of everything. None of us as human beings has full knowledge of everything. Even those of us who are Christians, Bible says what we know, we don't even know it as well as we ought to know it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 2, none of us knows everything about anything. Our knowledge is in part. So how then do we think we can conclude on any matter of life when our knowledge is in part? The only one that can conclude is God. So say to your neighbor, never conclude anything unless God himself concludes it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So now let's drop down to verse 18. Who against hope? Notice what's happening now. Who against hope? Who against hope? Who against hope? So the believing of Abraham was contrary to a certain hope, but in agreement with another hope. That's why Jesus is saying, blessed are they who have not seen and yet they have believed. Because in not seeing, they are shutting themselves to a certain hope and opening themselves up to another kind of hope. They have not seen, so they shut themselves to the hope that comes by sight. But then they have believed, they open themselves to the hope that comes through another means apart from sight. In other words, the hope that comes regardless of our natural human understanding. And that's the kind of hope that Abraham had before Isaac came. Who against hope believed in hope. So natural hope, he shut himself to it because there was no hope for him naturally. Sarah is too old to have a child. She had passed childbearing age. So no hope naturally. So he's no longer considering that in his mind. His mind is shut to that. Forget about science. Forget about biology. Forget about anything that is based on human knowledge. Only believe what comes from God. So Bible says against hope, he believed in hope. And now, where did they get that hope from? Let's read it together. Verse 18 again, we against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. In other words, what God said to him in Genesis chapter 15 verse 5, when he took him out at night to look up in the sky, that was what Abraham based his hope on. The word of God, what God said. So his hope is no longer based on his own human reasoning that he could come up with based on his condition. My wife is too old. She can't have a child anymore. Forget about all that. All that matters now is what God said. Say to your neighbor, the Christian hope is based 100% on the word of God and your choice to believe that with all your heart. That's all. That's all. You just have to make the choice. So how do you help yourself to make the choice? By spending time meditating in the word. like God took Abraham out at night. You see what God was trying to do? He was trying to help him to learn to meditate. Look up in the sky. How many stars are there? You know, that man will never forget. Even when he sleeps at night, he will be remembering. My children shall be like the stars of heaven. You see what God is trying to get him to do? To get his mind thinking along with God. So shall thy seed be. Because God is trying to help him paint on the screen of his mind a picture of God's promise to him. So shall my seed be. So what will Abraham's mind be thinking of now? My seed shall be as the stars of heaven. My seed shall be as the stars of heaven. He wakes up in the morning, my seed shall be as the stars of heaven. At night, my seed shall be as the stars of heaven. So when you meditate in the word of God, day and night, you begin to agree with God with your mind. You are no longer leaning on human understanding. Your mind and your heart are now in agreement based on what God said. And then Jesus says, you'll be blessed. Because blessed are they who have not seen, and yet they have believed. There is no other way. No shortcut to this thing. Say to your neighbor, you have to pay the price by spending time meditating in the word of God. It doesn't just come easily by you folding your hands and expecting it to happen. You have to search diligently the scriptures and meditate until you become fully persuaded that what God has said, He will do. Amen. So write this down as we close and just take home to meditate in. Genuine faith always believes and acts on the word of God, regardless of natural senses. So in addition to what we have looked at, just write 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 in front of that. So if you want to walk in the kind of faith that Jesus says will bring you blessing, you just have to believe the word of God and act on it. Forget about your own understanding or your feelings and all those things. The believing, next statement, the believing and the acting on the word of God is what makes faith and obedience to be the same thing. And then complete it by saying, this is why faith and obedience are the only way by which we receive the blessings of God. And in front of that, write this scripture, which we all know, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verses 1 to 14. So what I'm trying to get across to us is that when we walk by faith, which believes the word of God and acts on it, we are in obedience to God. It's as simple as that. Because obedience means you are doing what the word of God says. So faith is not just about believing alone, but acting on it. James chapter 2 tells us we have to show our faith by our works. Because faith without works is dead, being alone. Don't just say, I believe with my heart. Where is the action of faith? And you are not going to act in faith unless you are fully persuaded. And your mind is shut to the natural hope and open only to the supernatural hope that comes from the word of God. Finally, write this down. Genuine faith is always founded on hope that comes from God. according to his promise. Rather than natural hope that comes from our human reasoning. And in front of that, please write Romans chapter 4, verse 18. In other words, genuine faith is always founded on hope, which comes from the word of God according to his promises, the promises that address your need. It is never based on natural hope that comes from your own human reasoning or human understanding of your condition. That's why you have to learn to shut your natural mind up when you want to walk with God. Because your natural mind cannot relate with God. God's ways are higher than the ways of our natural senses. Many times when we lean on our human understanding, we miss God. Let me quickly show you a scripture as we pray. Because it's something that we all have to understand and meditate on daily. This is where we change ourselves. Turn with me to 2 Kings. See, whether we talk about Old Testament or New Testament, we see God consistently the way he walks by faith, because God himself is the source of our faith. You can't get faith apart from God. And so he demonstrates the way of faith to us all through the scriptures, right from Genesis chapter 1, when he was creating everything and everything was formless and nothing was happening the way it should be. He spoke the word in faith and got things to be created in order. And we see him here telling us again that the way of our human understanding does not match the way it works. Faith and human sight or human understanding, they don't go together at all. We walk by faith and not by sight. Say that to your neighbor again. We walk by faith and not by sight. So when you get home, please study the whole chapter, 2 Kings chapter 3. For the sake of time, let's just drop down to verse 17. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink, both you and your cattle and your beast. Now, if you are walking by natural senses, you miss God. Isn't that so? Because every person will tell you, well, if rain is going to fall, you see the cloud. You see the wind. And they say, oh, it's going to rain. I have faith, it's going to rain. God says, no, when I'm walking, I don't walk that way. I don't go by the natural signs. When I want to walk, I just do what I want to do, regardless of your own human understanding. So you are not going to see wind. You are not going to see rain, but you are going to get water in this valley. So where is the water going to come from? Is that not similar to what the officer of the king said when the prophet said, tomorrow at the gate of Samaria, a measure of wheat shall be sold for a shekel. Ah, the officer of the king, even if God were to open the windows of heaven, how can that be? See, no human mind could reason out how God was going to turn years of famine into abundance in just one day. But God already had a plan. There were lepers in the camp that God was going to use to bring the good news of abundance to the king and the people of God. Lepers were hiding. They were hungry. God himself had driven away the Syrians. They left all the food behind. And the leper said, well, we are hungry. If we stay here, we are going to die. Let's go and fall in the hands of the Syrians who have been oppressing the land. At least maybe they will have mercy on us and give us something to eat. They went, where are the Syrians? Look at this abundance of wheat. Yeah. They move into another hut. Where are they? Food everywhere. And he said, it's not good for us to keep this news to ourselves. Let's go and tell the king that there is abundance in the land now. And it came to pass exactly as God said. But the human mind could not have reasoned that out. So say to your neighbor, stop leaning on your human understanding. Just believe the word of God. And you will prosper. You will be blessed. God himself will bless you beyond your measure. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's just thank God. Right where you are, this is the time to go to God one-on-one. We come together congregationally to exhort one another, Bible says. Iron sharpens iron. But each one of us will have to work out our own salvation. You cannot live on borrowed faith. Your own faith will make you whole. I can help to encourage you to have faith in God, but I cannot become a substitute for you. You can help to encourage me to have faith in God, but you cannot become a substitute for me. Each one of us, when it comes to faith, will have to live by faith that pleases God. So right where you are seated, I want you to get your heart and your mind, your heart to believe God, your mind to hope in God, based on his word. Forget about your natural senses. You know your need here this morning. I may not know your need. Someone else may not know your need, but you know your need. You know where you are hurting. You know what you are going through. You don't even need to tell anybody, because God knows. Bible says we have Jesus, a great high priest, who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He has been through everything for us. He knows how to succor us. So turn your attention to him. Look away from everyone else. Look away from every harm of flesh. Look away even from yourself. And look to Jesus right where you are seated. And bring to your mind, right where you are seated, what the promise of God is concerning that need. If you don't already know it, you can quickly look in your Bible, look in the concordance section, find at least one promise or two that applies to your need. Because that's what you are going to base your hope on. Just like God took Abraham out in the night and said, look to the sky, so shall thy seed be. You have to have that image in your mind that you are meditating on every day. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Thus saith the Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Oh, I'm healed. I'm already healed. I see myself healed. Because the word of God cannot fail. God who made the promise has the ability to perform it. The doctor said, my sickness is incurable, but I choose to believe God. I hope in God, and I expect that one day I will wake up and there will be no trace of this sickness in my body and in my life forever. Because God has the power to make his word good. And Jesus said, blessed are they who have not seen and yet they have believed. I'm a believer. I've believed according to the word of God that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. Therefore, the symptoms will not remain in my body. That's how to do it. Whatsoever the word of God says about your need, you have to meditate on it. Think upon that all day long. Don't think about the trouble. Don't try to figure out with your own human understanding how to get the victory, relying on carnal means. Begin to look to God. Because it's not by power, it's not by might. It's by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. No man leaning on human might can perform the word of God. It only produces Ishmaels. But when we lean on the might of God himself, the God who quickens the dead and calls the things that be not as though they were, The God that can bring the dead back to life. The God that can make a way where there seems to be no way. The God that can make the valley to be full of rain when there is no wind and no rain. The God that can bring manna from heaven. The God that can make a raven to feed his prophet. The God that can command a widow woman to sustain his prophet. The God who put the moon, the sun, and the stars in place, and they are still there because he put them there by his word. The God whose word never fails. Hope in God. Say to your soul, as the psalmist said in Psalm 42, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Base your hope in God. So begin to say to your mind, my mind, hope in God, according to his word. He never fails. God never fails to keep his word. The doctor may say, he can't help me. But the woman with the issue of blood, the doctors could not help her either. She went to every one of them, they could not help her. But when she came to Jesus, Jesus helped her. She spent all her money, they could not help her. But Jesus didn't even take one penny from her and helped her. I hope in God. I believe with all my heart that the word of God will come to pass for me. Because I've already settled it once and for all. I believe God. I hope in God. And exactly what God said is what I'm going to experience in the name of Jesus. And if you've done that, lift your hands to him and thank him. Thank him. Faithful is he who has called you who also will do it. Faithful is he who has promised and who also will do it. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you that you behold your people here this morning. As David said, who do we have in heaven but you? And there is none else that we desire here on earth apart from you. We have no need of any other. You are our El Shaddai. You are our sufficiency. You are God indeed, and all things are subject to you. And your word is the word of integrity that never fails. We believe, just as you said, that every word that has gone forth out of your mouth will never return back to you void. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto you have sent it, and it shall accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. And so we have believed accordingly. Here today, every individual, every situation, every need, we have believed according as you have promised in your word. And now we are thanking you for your power to bless, to make your promises a living reality in everyone's life. That testimonies may come out of every mouth to glorify you, O God. Thank you for breakthroughs where people need breakthroughs here today. Thank you for healing for the sick. Thank you for wisdom for those who need to make important decisions in their lives. And they are at crossroads. They don't know which way to go. Oh, you said in your word that we will hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk thou in it. Because your spirit lives in us and it speaks to us by your word. To be the lamp to our feet and the light to our path, so that we don't stumble in life. Anoint their ears to hear as the learned, to to hear thy word. That word that will guide them in the right decisions. In the name of Jesus. Those who are weak among us, thank you for your strength that you multiply to them, Lord. Those who are discouraged, thank you for encouragement that you give to them. Oh Lord, those who need favor, you are the God who promised that you will encompass your righteous ones with favor as a shield. Thank you for giving them favor. Thank you for open doors, Lord, for your people here today. For you hold the keys in your hands. He said, behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one shall be able to shut. Whatsoever they need in the lives of your people today, as much as everyone has believed, so let there be that experience of your blessing, as you promised. We give you all the glory, mighty God. We give you all the praise. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and evermore. In the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands to him and thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. We give God all the glory. We give him all the glory. Just give him thanks this morning and praise him. He is faithful, who has promised. And if you believe, you will see the glory of the Lord. Just like Jesus said to Mary and Martha, if you can believe, you will see the glory of God. God will glorify himself in all areas of your life and need. Just believe according as he has spoken. And forget about your human understanding. We give God all the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.